This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. What are these guys doing in here before us? They're boxing now? Your mic's not on? Okay. One day, it's going to be just a firing all,
pipe,
all
pipe
cylinders
down
out of the gates.
Yeah, they're talking about boxing.
It sounds like we're even going to get to judge the boxing match, which I can't wait for.
I mean, not that it's ever stopped us before when it comes to something that we're not qualified to do. But I kind of feel like the Drive's underqualified or not really qualified to be boxing judges.
Well, I told them yesterday, John and Draven, I was like, you guys are so mean to each other. You really need to just take it back a notch. And apparently they went the other direction today because now they're going to throw hands. And that should be fun. Maybe we should have like a fan-run boxing tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were trying to plan a whole undercard and everything. So, and by the way, I would say that you and I, we are qualified. We have seen many, many MMA, boxing, scripted fighting. We've seen it all. So I do think that we are qualified to be in this position, at least among others. Like, come on.
Here's the thing. I don't think that any fan-run boxing match is going to make it to where the judges
yeah, it might not go to the scorecards.
No. Dang.
I think somebody's either going to get knocked out, say no mas, something.
Or die. Or be killed in a tragic accident that spells the end of Fan Run Radio. These are things that those guys need to think about, I think, before they step into the squared
circle.
It's going to
happen. Just pull up here in the grass lot next to Fan Run Radio, bring over a pickup truck, and let them shine the lights on it for a little extra light. Like,
I mean, should former station people be allowed to enter it? I mean, I'd drive straight to Nashville and get Butterbead McClure.
I'm not going there, but I think that we got to think about these things. Boxing is dangerous business. I don't want to see any of you guys get hurt, you young guys. It's all fun and games when you're in your 20s, your 30s.
How do you think you do?
I was about to say, against the field.
I'm not getting in there, man. I'm not getting in. I'm not fighting.
You're not letting anybody touch that pretty face?
I'm 40 years old. That's what I need to go in there. It gets some brain damage or blow out a knee or a hip or have my neck snapped when I take a left hook upside the head. Yeah, that's what I need.
I mean, you got to factor that into it, too. I mean, do I really want to get in there and get my ass beat by, like, Hudson or Will Stevens?
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I don't want to stir the pot, but let's say hypothetically.
Oh, boy.
You didn't have to come away with any kind of injuries or anything along those lines. I mean,
if
who
you
would
could
win?
Guarantee, well, that's the thing about boxing is you cannot guarantee.
But
the safety.
Hypothetically,
that's why I have a lot of respect for these guys who are like these amateurs who are jumping in the ring with everybody wants to rip on that Logan Paul dude. And I watched some of the like. First of all, he's not a total amateur, but he went what 7 or 8 rounds with freaking Floyd Mayweather. Like he could have gotten hurt.
That was a sparring match. That was a glorified sparring
match. He took some shots. No, that was a boxing match.
It's not like Floyd's a heavy hitter.
One moment in it where it literally looked like he knocked him out, and he kind of caught him during one of the rounds. It was crazy.
No, it's you guys need to think about it. More love around this place, man. Less hate. The hatred, man. It's no bueno. All right, folks, we got a lot to get into here this afternoon. Christopher Gabriel is on the show today at 4:20. Always a crowd pleaser. Always a fan favorite, Hurricane Gabriel, coming here in hour number two. Then in hour number three, we got some Tennessee basketball recruiting information. Andre Whitehead,
apparently
local
there's quite
basketball
a bit of it.
Expert, going to join the show at 5:20 this afternoon.
Love having Andre on.
Yep. A lot of big-time visitors gracing Tennessee's campus this month as Rick Barnes, I mean, he's just like five stars everywhere. It's crazy right now for Deacon Barnes.
Apparently, not that they can't recruit them all, but apparently one of the things I want to ask him about is there's never been more like legit Power Five basketball players than there is right now in the area. East Tennessee.
I have a theory about that. I think that this goes back to Bruce Pearl. I think that ever since 2005 when he came here, basketball interest in basketball in East Tennessee has skyrocketed. You go back to those Rocky Top League games and sweltering Bearden High Gymnasium, just packed, watching all those great players go at it in glorified pickup games. And then, of course, Tennessee's program has been so good and the interest has been so high. I think that it is the culmination of 15 years of Knoxville and University of Tennessee basketball program being a consistent winner that has elevated the level of high school and AAU play around the area.
I think you're right about Bruce Pearl, but the name that I would say immediately, Bruce definitely got it started, and if it wasn't for Bruce, this person wouldn't have been in Knoxville.
Yeah.
And it's Bobby Mays.
Yeah. I mean,
it can't be underestimated.
Yeah, and then his impact on the Catholic program and everything. But again, it all stems from Pearl.
Bearden. I mean, he's got kids out of that AAU program. He's got a ton of kids at a lot of high schools here in town. I think West has had some of his kids.
And the program is like, if you follow them on Twitter, they're always tweeting out. They've got like a huge facility and nice uniforms and everything. It's pretty crazy.
They play against the best AAU teams in the nation.
Yeah, the impact that he's had. All right, this baseball thing is out of control, man.
It really is.
It's blown up. What did you send me earlier today? The tickets are going four tickets behind the plate.
Here's what I'm afraid of. The blue hairs that in his infinite wisdom, Danny Dummy, decided I'm going after him. I'm going after him. Because he's let people – I can understand taking care of the big money donor. You have to. But you don't lose your mind and say, hey, you can buy eight tickets. Because it's already –
has it been confirmed that it was eight tickets? Is that
something? The guy was selling eight tickets together for $6,000 on Facebook Marketplace.
$6,000?
That's beyond anything.
Is that real?
Is that
real? Eight tickets for $6,000. Is somebody paying $6,000 to go? As for all three games, eight tickets.
There might be some – what I fear, the only people crazy enough to do that are drunken LSU fans.
All right, well, I'm going to –
this grand experiment of his ends up with a bunch of LSU people, like 1,500 of them in the main stands. I'm going to be pissed.
I'm going to withhold judgment. We'll see what happens. If the atmosphere is what I think it's going to be, which is off the hook crazy just like it's been, then you're going to owe an apology for what you just said.
I don't apologize.
But if you're right and a bunch of LSU fans or it's a bunch of blue hairs and the atmosphere suffers, then yeah, I mean, I think that they screwed the pooch.
Him up. I just think it's silly to take this kind of chance for the biggest series in school history.
Well, to me, this is all it all goes back to UTPR, which is just
it's atrocious.
It never gets better. It only gets worse. And the harder they try to make it better, the worse it becomes. And it's just transparency, a little transparency. It could have solved the ticket thing earlier if they just let everybody know what's happening. And then if they would come out and there's all this speculation and say, because I don't know, man. This is all speculation to me. I don't know if the eight ticket thing is true. I don't know if anybody was unable to get tickets yesterday. We don't know. and it's been shrouded in so much secrecy that it lends itself to this sort of conspiracy theory mongering where now everybody's mad about something that might have a very innocent and perfectly reasonable explanation.
Why can they not just have somebody in an office that Plowman, Boyd, and No Nugs can't fire? They can speak truth to power. And when they're doing something like this, be like, don't be stupid. People are going to go crazy over this. And people have gone nuts over it.
Yeah, they really have. You know,
you can't blame them.
No, you see the reaction from so many people yesterday, and you saw evidence. You saw their screenshots. You saw the proof. And then really compiled onto everything was the furthering of the My All campaign. And that certainly didn't help efforts. So it was really just this snowball effect all throughout the day yesterday. And you were kind of left with just a really big group of angry fans.
You guys feel like they should have picked a different time than this weekend to launch that damn thing?
I feel like, and somebody here can correct me if they have different information, but I feel like that's a thing that's got to have been set for a good amount of time now. That was probably set before they knew that we were going to the Super Regionals last weekend.
Come on,
I agree. But maybe you moved that or something.
The writing was on the wall with this bunch early on that they were probably they were incredibly capable of making a deep run in the postseason.
That would be giving them the credit of expecting some kind of fallout with the tickets that morning of, right? If we know now that, hey, nobody seemed like they were expecting this, well, then how would they know to move that as well if they thought, hey, this is just going to go 1-2 in order and it's going to be a Wednesday?
Well, you don't have any option as far as how you handle or timelines for handling the ticket sales stuff because the games happen when they happen.
Right.
But you clearly have an option of when to announce your fundraising initiatives and all that stuff, and I don't know when the optimum time to do it is, but it doesn't seem like yesterday was a very good choice.
Maybe Tuesday after we make our first World Series and
maybe before
years.
Maybe back in the regular season when the regular season's going on and we weren't having these crazy ticket access conversations. Do it back then when
it's just
fans are feeling good about the Tennessee baseball program and you've got the football spring practices, just maybe in that sweet spot. Or maybe you just wait until baseball's done. Give it a week or so after baseball's done and then announce it then.
Yeah, it springboarded off announcing that you've locked Vitello up for the next, 5 to 7 years.
Do you think that people are just that much more excited to be there this weekend? I mean, I know you were on vacation last weekend, but, I mean, Barry, do you remember, at least I don't remember any kind of this much drama, at least when it comes to fans wanting to go to the game. I feel like because we're now in the Super Regionals, things have really, really ramped up.
There's season ticket holders that have normally would have tickets behind home plate in that sweet spot right there that
been pushed out towards the edges.
Not just out to the edges. They're out in the bleat,
I think that's been a hot ticket all year long, obviously. I remember having Vitello on the week of the Vanderbilt series, and that felt like Armageddon at the time. And those tickets were impossible to get. And then by the time Arkansas came, it had gone to another level. The last weekend was another level. This week is
insanity.
Yeah, I mean, this is just peak. We've never seen anything like it in this sport.
Thunderdome.
I guess this one just stands out that much more because of, obviously, the surrounding events.
It does remind me a little bit of football back in the 90s. I remember a couple of games in there, a couple of the Florida games. 96 comes to mind in particular, the 1990 Notre Dame game, 92 Alabama, when you had top three football teams coming in here and Tennessee was really good. There were a lot of demand. It was a hard sellout all the way. You had to buy your tickets on the black market, and it was a news story. People paying $300-$400 a ticket and to go see Tennessee play Notre Dame in 1990. This is 30 years ago. That was a lot of. It was like I can't believe somebody
like
paid $500 to go see a football game in 1990.
One of the greatest games I ever went to was that one.
It kind of reminds me of that because it's so much expectation on this team. People want to be in the room where it happens. They want to see Tony Vitello and this, but you don't want to watch it on TV.
Nope.
I don't even know if they want to go to this block party down there. I'm sure it's going to be a great success. It's a great idea. I'm not going to rain on that particular parade, but people want to be in the stadium. There's going to be about 5,500 people in there, and there's going to be about 55,000 who said they were there next
week.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, that happens all the time. The Red Hot Chili Peppers played a famous show at Vic and Bill's up in the old Vic and Bill's up in the fort way back in the 80s. And it was one of like a handful of places where they really did the deal where they, you know, they stripped down and they put socks on it and come out and play. But there was like maybe 80 people there that night, but you'll meet, you know, 3,000
people.
I was
at the REM show on the Cumberland Avenue Strip in 1982 on the Radio Free Europe tour. Nobody knew who they were. Yeah, there'll be a lot of people claiming they was there this weekend. Oh, it should be a lot of fun. We got a lot to get to here this afternoon. Tell you what, open lines this hour. If you want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot now. 865-546-8200, 546-8200, your number to get in with us here today. We've got college football playoff news. Looks like another step closer to the 12-team playoff. We've got some possible more movement on Josh Heupel's roster. Man, he's just keeps on looking for ball players, and we'll talk about that and a couple of other things for you as well. Stay tuned. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Hot take, cold take, Tony Vitello, big kid rock guy.
I don't know. Probably. He's right. I mean, that's right in a sweet spot.
100%.
He was at Mizzou. He was in high school in Mizzou when Kid Rock first came out. I did see him at Moose's Music Hall.
Kid Rock is one of those acts that it's not like Nickelback or one of those things, but obviously he has a huge following. It's not cool to admit that you like Kid Rock in a lot of circles,
know.
I think. But it's also right. One of those things that everybody likes Kid Rock. You can say you don't, but
his first record was banging. Well, I mean,
he did Bah Wada Bah, right?
Yeah, that was summer 99.
When Bah Wada Bah comes on, man, and you're like, yeah.
Now, here's the thing a lot of people don't realize about him. My best friend is the same age as him and grew up in the same circles in Detroit. He went to Cranbrook, I'm pretty sure.
What's that?
It's like one of the most elite private schools in.
Oh, he's a yuppie?
His dad was high up with one of the big three, I'm pretty sure.
Whatever. He wrote Bah Wada Bah.
Yeah.
All summer long.
But he didn't grow up in a trailer park, for sure.
I'm going to hot take it, by the way. Absolutely.
We were talking during the – we were watching video. UT Baseball tweeted out a great video of all four walk-offs this season, and it has a great angle of the Gilbert Grand Slam where – you can see him
running out of the
tunnel. He's got the happiest day of his life guy I've ever seen. And then, of course, you've seen the video now that was taken in the stands of like he ran down the foul line and then almost stage dove into the crowd. The net bounced him back. Big Kid Rock guy.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Buster is up first. Hello, Buster.
Hello, Russell Black. Glad to have you back.
Good to be back.
I'm still having problems trying to get your podcast at night, so I am listening today. So,
hey, there you go. The old-fashioned way, live on the radio. I like it.
Do it live.
Last Saturday, I was in line. I got there 90 minutes before 90 minutes, so I was there way early. And a guy beside me was a UT alumnus who was Smokey in 2008 while my daughter was at college.
He was the guy in the Smokey suit?
Yeah.
In 2008?
Small.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was going to buy one ticket. Scalper came up to him. I know it was a scalper. And he said, will you buy me three more wristbands? And I told, after he left, I said, you know, you shouldn't be doing that for the scalpers because you're – he's just going to turn around and use it against us. I said, you need this. Anyway, I called the office this morning over UT, and I complained that I said, tell me, with all this fiasco yesterday, tell me we're going to limit the number of wristbands per person. They said no, and that broke my heart. I wish you guys get on the horn and reach out to somebody on that campus.
Let me ask you, so when you buy these standing room only tickets, and they're going to sell some of those again before the game on Saturday, yep. You stand in line, Can you only buy one? How many can you buy?
You can buy up to the four.
See, I feel like it should be just one per person. Like, if you're by yourself, you should be able to buy one. If you've got your kids with you, you should be able to buy one for yourself and each of them.
This situation this weekend is so stressful and I'm so sad. And only 500
people
got tickets.
Don't be sad, Buster. It'll be okay. Like, you shouldn't. Hey, I understand it's stressful. You really want to get in, but there is nothing sad about this, Buster.
But I'm telling you, they should be fair to the other fans who may call it. My wife called it 110 times. I called 55 before I went to work. Yeah. I've had customers on my route telling me that yesterday and today. That, I mean, it was pretty impressive. But bottom line, I tell you, we got to get the word out to the university. Let's limit to two. But we got listen. We'll come up with a game plan tomorrow night. Likely it's going to rain like heaven tomorrow night, so maybe there won't be as many people camping out. But it's going to be crazy. It's a good alumni moment tomorrow night.
Volmageddon Saturday. Bye-bye. This weekend. Bye-bye. At the stadium. Thank you, Buster. Appreciate you. 80% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow, 40% on Saturday. Looks like we're good Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like you should be able to stand in line and then buy four tickets, because scalpers are going to do that. They're going to band together, four or five of them, go down there and take 12, 16, 20 tickets out at a time.
Like, one of the things they did say that if it's legitimate, I can understand why. The reason they kept them offline is these secondary sites just have, you know, like a room full of Ricks that are really smart, and then they loose with these, what are they called, bots?
Well, yeah, it's not even Ricks. It's just bots. It's just like
just some person punches a button, and then they scarf up all the tickets.
Yeah, it's tough. Hopefully next year we'll have a lot more permanent seating in there, and then there will be a plan to get that thing up to where if we have one of these series, we can – cram 12,000 people in there.
How many tickets if the size of the stadium were no option?
Yeah.
What's the over under
this weekend?
Oh, man. How many do you think? North of 15?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'd have 20,000-30,000 in there, like a basketball game or something. Maybe not quite football.
Because I wonder, maybe if it's something next time we have him on, we can ask him. I wonder if he's looking at Vitello, the fact that, I mean, even Tennessee's been bad in football. I mean, they still drawn. The basketball team, even when we're bad, we were still ranked in the nation in attendance. If you put a good product on the field or the floor, the baseball field, fans are going to show up here in droves. They'll pack it.
Figure out a way to build some sort of monster, a short porch in Neyland Stadium and put them in there.
It is kind of funny how, like, in Arkansas,
I think you'd
does
have 30,000 for a game.
You really
weekend.
Think so?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
let's
it's
make
hard
that
to argue.
The hot question. Okay. Like, honestly, let's not be so. Oh, we could pack 100,000. Like, come on, man.
No.
Let's. How many people, if seating were no problem, and we had infinite seats?
Yeah.
How many people do you think would be in there Saturday night?
It was easy to get in, easy to get out. Just how many people would?
Yeah.
I wish there was an area.
I put it at 30.
Where Tennessee could do this, but you know, like even in Arkansas has the hog pen out in the outfield where it's just a gigantic plot of land. Like it's just total grass and you can fit as many students
well, that's the thing
as
that I'm interested
possibly
in
pack
is,
in there. I mean that's huge numbers right there.
They could if they shut down that road that runs behind Lindsey Nelson, that was the reason I wanted to go down there and look at it, because I was just curious. They could grade out and build some kind of big sloping berm out there.
Yeah.
You can put a ton of people on something like that.
We've asked a lot of our baseball guests the past couple of weeks, what is a good target capacity for Lindsey Nelson? Chris Burke yesterday said between 6,000 and 8,000. I kind of agree. That's the sweet spot, because you don't want to have your midweek games looking too sparsely attended going forward. But I'll say this. I could see if we were to somehow win – the College World Series, if we won a national championship this year or any time in the near future, and this guy's locked in and he's the General Neyland of Tennessee baseball, as Rusty Enser speculated a couple of weeks ago, I could see a situation where you could build out a 12 to 15,000 seat stadium, because, yeah, if we're going to be doing what we're doing this weekend on the reg, Yeah, they will fill
it'll
it
pay
up.
For it. It'll help pay for itself. Because here's the thing. When I was looking at it, I was stunned at how many cans of beer and hard seltzer, especially, I saw in everybody's hands when I was watching. Every time they show the crowd, I'm like, man, everybody's drinking. And that's all. You got to factor that in now because they can sell beer and wine and what, those seltzers. Yeah. That's a ton of money.
And I'm not saying, like, for next year we need 15,000 seats in there. I'm just saying long term, I could see if they win a national championship and Vitello stays here and this becomes just this huge thing that we do, the way it's become at Mississippi State and Arkansas and South Carolina, other schools like that, if we get it ate up with it that bad, yeah, I could see them making one of the biggest college baseball stadiums in the country here because
I imagine it'll look nice. So
I don't know how many seats the new Smoky Stadium is going to hold. I know we've always talked about the disadvantages of playing away from campus right there at UT. And I don't know, I guess that just the, you know, overall yesterday, even I believe it was yesterday, Danny White talked about how, hey, he's going to say that the decisions that he makes are going to be based on what Tony Vitello says. He's the guy that's got him here already, but I wonder if that's going to be a massive stadium, you know, some 15,000. Maybe that's an area. No?
I can't remember the exact number, but I'd heard it's like 6,000 to 8,000,
okay.
Something like that.
I was looking around trying to figure it out on the fly, but I just wondered if that was maybe a big stadium. Maybe you wanted to use that specialty for the biggest
I don't think it's going to be quite
regular
that,
season, but,
quite that big,
okay.
But I'm still all in favor of having a game or two or maybe a series or something
totally
out there during the course of the season, but Vitello's made it pretty clear, like, one of the conditions of him sticking around is he wants Lindsey Nelson Stadium looking elite.
Well, he's said it on the show more than once.
Yeah.
He believes that college baseball belongs at college baseball stadiums on campus. So
for him, it's a recruiting thing. Like, if he could just draft players, I don't think he would care that much, but he has to bring players on campus to visit and
show them
they
the stadium.
All want, yeah, they all want to see the stadium, just like football or just like basketball. They want to see the facilities where they're going to be working out it, and that is critical, as Butch Jones would say. Let's go back to the phones, and TJ, the Kentucky fan, is next. Hello, TJ.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Hey, this transfer portal, I kind of like it. Got us another transfer this morning, but if you've seen or heard, the transfer portal is already hurting a specific team up north, as their coach 2 days ago said that they need a quarterback, a tailback, wide receivers, and two offensive linemen when the season starts in 2 months. So they're that transfer portal is hurting some teams already. I can see that.
Who's that, Michigan?
Louisville.
I don't know that the transfer portal is hurting them. I think the constant, nonstop, off-the-court scandal is what's hurting Louisville right now.
No. Football.
Oh. Yeah.
They've kind of been slipping.
Yeah, big time.
They've slipped. So. What was your pinnacle for them? What's his name?
Lamar Jackson.
Charlie Strong. Was that his last year?
Petrino, the first time around, I would say. They went to the Orange Bowl, I want to say, in 2000 or 2001 with Bobby Petrino.
And Charlie Strong won a Sugar Bowl.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe. When I think of Louisville at its peak, I think of
Petrino.
Petrino.
Who had Lamar Jackson? Is that Petrino Part 2?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I wouldn't even put Louisville at its pinnacle with Lamar Jackson, because you had a 7-5 Kentucky team beat that ranked Louisville team that had Lamar Jackson.
I don't know. Charlie Strong had him rolling. They were getting better and better every year.
It's the reason Dave Hart tried to hire him.
He probably should have stayed up there.
Yep.
He really should have.
No problem about it, yeah. I mean, grass ain't always greener on the other side.
That's Louisville, Kentucky. The money would be, you know, they've got money. I don't know. Maybe just didn't like living in Kentucky. Can't underestimate that. It would suck to be from Kentucky or have to live there.
Where's he at now? USF?
Yes, as far as I know.
Well, he was, but he got fired there too. He is he's on the Saban coaching rehab.
Is he really?
I'm pretty sure. I know he was last year. he might have been hired somewhere this past offseason. Where's he at, River? The Jags. He went with coaching linebackers in the NFL. All right, good for him, man. Get out of the rat race.
Yeah, he's one of the better.
Have a little more time with the family.
I don't know. I just remember when he was at Florida. Back in the, was it 2004? Yeah. Yeah. He tried to have a linebacker one-on-one coverage with Swain when he caught that touchdown. Good times. Brilliant move. Well, Charlie, thank you.
I hope one more thing. I hope extending this playoff to 12 teams isn't going to weigh it down. But we'll see. Y'all have a good one, man.
Thank you, TJ. Appreciate it. The College Football Playoff Committee is, I guess they are moving forward at CFB Playoff, just tweeted out. This is the official group. 12-team playoff proposed by College Football Playoff Working Group. So it's interesting that they are being transparent about this and publicizing it. And I don't know. I mean, this is not an official announcement that this is what they're going to. Would you guys classify this as, is this a weather balloon they're sending out to kind of see, gauge public reaction a little bit? And
yeah, I certainly do. And I also think very strongly that it's very fascinating that this gets right over eight. I mean, does nobody else kind of raise an eyebrow at the fact that we went from 4 to 12, when I think a lot of us throughout the years have been having the conversation of 8 teams, and they went right to 12. What that tells me right there is that, hey, they're not afraid to go big. They're not afraid to maybe go one way or the other if they have to, but they're going to really start out and go big. I don't think they want to be in a position where maybe 3 or 4 years from now we start talking again and being like, okay, well, 8 has been good, but now we really know that we need 12. Like, that's, I don't think
this
they want people coming back. So
just smarter thing that they've done.
Freaking hammer it home, maybe, right off the bat.
Maybe color me cynical, but I just feel like it's one of these things. These people are always, it's about what can make them
the most money. Yeah.
And they're looking at it and saying, this is as big as we can make it, as financially lucrative as we can make it without being farcical to a point. And this is what they're going to, here are the nuts and bolts of the proposal. The 4 highest-ranked conference champions would be seeded 1 through 4, and each would receive a first-round bye. So you've basically got 8 teams, basically a final 4 of games, a quarterfinals, whatever you want to call it, and then the top 4 conference champions. But see, I just feel like you've got 5 power conferences, right?
Right.
And maybe this is what they want, but I just feel like there's going to be endless debate about who the top 4 of those champions are.
I don't know.
But anyway.
I could see my issue with it is the top 12 teams are probably all within the Power 5.
I don't know about that. I feel like there have been years where
you seen
Boise, UCF, and teams like that.
Did you guys see where somebody went back with last year's final rankings before the whole deal and kind of laid out who would play who?
Yeah.
And
a lot of power.
Yeah,
teams.
I mean, and it's just like the NFL for people. They're the top 4 teams. Everybody's expecting them to be in the semis and play for the national championship ultimately. But if you put all these other teams in there, anything can happen.
So the 4 highest-ranked conference champions seeded 1 through 4 receiving a first-round bye, while teams seeded 5 through 12 would play each other in the first round on the home field of the higher-ranked team.
That'd be serious potential for controversy between who the 4th and 5th best conference champion is.
So the team ranked number 5 would host number 12.
Right.
Number 6 would host 11, 7, 10, 8, 9.
So that's how they get to the traditional 8 format, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're talking mid-December in Neyland Stadium. Let's pretend for a minute.
Okay.
And when we
let's
get to
fantasize.
Host, and we get to host, you know, some warm weather team and it's like 10 degrees in there. You ain't getting December here. It'd be 71 day and like -5 the next.
The quarterfinals and semifinals would be played in bowl games. The championship game would continue to be at a neutral site as under the current format. four members of the working group, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boolsby, Greg Sankey, the SEC, Craig Thompson of the Mountain West, and Notre Dame AD Jack Swarbrick presented their recommendation today during a virtual meeting of the full management committee that administers the CFP. You got to think, man, if Sankey and the dude from Notre Dame are on
Swarbrick,
board,
yeah,
and then they've got the Mountain West guy for good measure just to kind of like throw the group of five a bone, and this is what they come up with.
This is how you get into it. Yeah,
this feels like it's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we saw that this year with when – who was it who tried to pull the big power play on us? Big Ten, when they announced that they weren't going to have football season just unilaterally.
Yeah, they were the
Pac-12
first one.
Pac-12 did too, didn't they?
Yeah. And then Sankey was like, okay.
Good luck with that.
Was like, yeah, we're playing.
And then they were like, wait a minute. You guys can't play. We're not playing. You can't. And it's like, no, actually, we're going to play. It's cool. You do what you're going to
do. You do your spring thing. That was it. They were going to play in the spring.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You guys do what you're going to do, but we're playing football.
And we're going to also be playing for the Natty.
Yeah, it was weird because you had the
then they're like, oh, no. We'll work this out. We'll play.
You
the
had
Big
two,
12.
Yeah, you had two on each side. You had the ACC and I believe it was the SEC, and they were going to play. And then you had the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, and they were not going to play. And the Big 12 were sitting there, and
they're
the final
ones
to decide. And they're like, we're going to play. And then all the rest were like, okay, fine.
I never doubted the Big 12. I mean, you could just look at their footprint.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a
– they had points to score.
Southwest, Southeast, college football.
Next step in the process is for the 11-member management committee to review the recommendation at its upcoming meeting in Chicago. That's going to be June 17th and 18th here in about a week. If the management committee endorses the 12-team proposal or reaches consensus on an alternative model or decides to retain the current format, it will forward a recommendation to the CFB Board of Managers, which will meet June 22nd in Dallas. So this is moving quickly here. They're going before an 11-member management council, and that's got a whole lot of other people on it. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what kind of pressure. There's some. I'm seeing some SEC guys on this. A Mountain West president, the guy from UNLV, and everything. Are the commissioners Sankey, the Mountain 12 commissioner, are they going to be able to exert enough influence on some of these individual ADs and presidents to where they're going to go for it?
I think the key is going to be the group of five guys, and their appeal to them is going to be, look, this is the only way that you guys are going to consistently have some kind of representation in the national championship picture. They're going to have to expand it. They're never making it in with four teams. I don't care what they do in the regular season. They're just not. And it comes down to money. So, am I wrong? You think? They keep it at four. Are we ever going to see a group of five team?
No.
It's just not going to happen.
I don't think so.
So I think they'll go along with whatever Sankey and then the Power Fives that want it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the desire not to be left behind is probably greater than the desire to be included. And that's
hell, I'd sign up with them if I were in their position.
It's going to be fun, man. I like it. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll read the rest of this release and digest it a little bit. We'll talk about that. Plus, more movement coming up on the Tennessee roster. Last week when I was gone, Roe Torrance, the JUCO player, decommitted from Tennessee.
Yeah, we broke it down scientifically.
And the Vols a little bit short on defensive backs. And I almost said Jeremy Pruitt.
Why
wow, I got
to do that to Heupel.
I mean, it's just old habits die hard. Josh Heupel trying to find a few good men to round out his inaugural roster. We'll tell you, throw a couple of names at you when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
It's been a while since you threatened everybody with that one.
Shirts off challenge.
You ever notice everybody in the station goes quiet?
Yeah.
I would just
nobody
cold.
Has ever wanted to take Russ up on the shirts off challenge here at Fan Run.
There's just not a lot of dudes who are like, in my kind of shape. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm in elite physical condition, but the curious thing about Fan Run is we got a bunch of dudes who are a little bigger.
Or incredibly skinny.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say.
Slender.
Guys who are carrying weigh a little too much weight, couple spare tires right there.
Right.
Or we got guys like Will Stevens and Butler over here who are
probably going to live forever.
A slight breeze might send them tumbling down the hill.
Yeah. Will Stevens did request to get on your dance card in the Fan Run Boxing Exhibition.
Wow.
What do you weigh, Stevens? 130. He weighs 130 pounds.
Hold on. Open that door up.
No.
How tall is he?
He's probably like 6 foot.
How tall are you, Stevens?
6'2",
130.
Let's put him in the ring with Reed.
Oh, I mean, I'm tipping the scales at a healthy 185 these days. I mean, if I were – I'd be a middleweight in UFC.
I mean, I've lost – I'm still not ready for the shirts off challenge yet. But, I mean, I've lost like almost 30 pounds now.
You're still in the heavyweight division?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If we had a radio show during the 9 o'clock hour, I would love to do the no-shirt 9 o'clock. I think that would just be – that would be a hoot.
What are you tipping the scales at?
Doesn't matter.
These days, Butler? Oh, come
doesn't
on.
Matter.
Come on. It does. What, 135?
Doesn't matter.
135?
He's going about 150.
It's going about 145.
145. 145. Okay, that would be –
5'10", 145.
But I don't look at Rick in the same – like, Will skinny. Like, he's like Abraham Lincoln looking.
I'm lucky that I'm just kind of average size, like height.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look very normal.
I'm glad I'm not like 6'2".
You look totally normal.
Wow.
But.
Thank you.
Then we do have some heavies, you know.
Yeah, so you're 145. You'd be a featherweight.
He's in the heavyweight division.
Will would be a bantamweight out here. I'd clock in the middleweight. I might, you know, if I really wanted to cut weight. If I got in the trash bag and dehydrated, did that whole thing, I might be able to get down to welterweight. I might be able to make 170.
So who's in the heavyweights? Probably me, Nate, Chris.
I don't think Nate's not in the heavyweights. Stop. What are you doing?
Nate's sneaky big. I see him a lot more than you do.
Man, you got like monster.
Nate could make middleweight.
Nate might be a little bit dangerous.
He could make 185.
You think you could take Nate? In the middleweight class?
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Having fun.
What are you doing? Speaking of middleweight, we do have a huge fight this weekend. The belt is on the line. Adesanya Vettori 2, UFC 263. Fight night coming up Saturday, and you can get in on the action over at FanDuel. FanDuel giving you 30-1 odds on either fighter to win the main event. That means you can win $150 off just a $5 bet. Place your first bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook app using promo code DRIVE1 and get in on this incredible action. Then just sit back and watch the fists fly. Israel Adesanya, Marvin Vettori 2, Saturday night, June the 12th, UFC 263. FanDuel's my go-to for all my sports betting. The promos are always on point, just like this one. The app is always easy to use. Safety and security features are phenomenal. Nobody ever has any issues with FanDuel, and the payouts are always super fast. Don't forget, you can get only this offer. You can only get this offer on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, so download it today and sign up using promo code DRIVE1 so they know we sent you. Again, that's promo code DRIVE1. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Now, I just noticed a tweet from Tony Barnhart. But originally, according to Tony, it was Nicole Auerbach that pointed this out. But Notre Dame has some interesting problems. They're not in a conference. They would never qualify for the first-round bye. They're an independent. But you know the massage system for them. But
I mean,
it can't be a deal where Notre Dame just plays that somewhat crap schedule they play every year. And roll in there is
their AD was on this four-person panel. He would never have approved it if they couldn't be one of those four buys. So it's
should they be forced to have to compete for the title in the ACC?
I'm guessing that it's going to be the five Power Five conference champions and Notre Dame, the top four of those. Which sucks. I'm all on board. I know Notre Dame they're not special anymore. They should join a conference. I hear that, but I'm just telling you. I bet that's what it's going to be.
I wonder why the Big 12 never really went after them hard.
So, like this year, who would it would have been? It would have been Alabama from the SEC, Clemson, Notre Dame would have been
Oklahoma.
One of those. And then it would have been
– was it Oklahoma? Or no, they'd tail.
So, here's what you would have had. A 12-team college football playoff would have looked like in 2020. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Clemson. Number three, Ohio State. Number four, Notre Dame. Five, A&M. Six, Oklahoma. Seven, Florida. Eight, Cincinnati. Nine, Georgia. 10, Ohio State. 11, Indiana. 12,
no,
Coastal Carolina.
10, you had Ohio State at 10 again.
Iowa State.
Okay.
That would have been cool, man, because I don't think anybody would have argued last year that those are the four best teams, Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Texas A&M had they have two losses?
But, yeah, they had a really good season. I think they did have two.
They might have only had
off one. Who off the bottom do you guys think would have had the offensive firepower to stand in with, like, Clemson and Alabama?
No, but I still think we would end up in our top four.
Yeah, nobody. But the other match, like A&M versus Coastal Carolina in Aggie in College Station.
That would have been wild.
That would have been fun, man. I think A&M would have won, but that would have been cool. Oklahoma versus Indiana in Norman.
You're one movement away from getting another Florida-Georgia right there with the 8-9. I mean, so you are that close to
SEC. That Cincinnati team, they're a group of five with that really good defense they had last year. Could have gotten a fair shot at getting in there.
Well, Cincinnati would play Georgia, which they did play in that bowl game, but that was in Atlanta, right? Was that the Peach Bowl?
Who ended up winning that?
Georgia did, but they had to come back, and Cincinnati blew it with horrible clock management. If Cincinnati's hosting that game, might be a different story.
Cincinnati on January 1st? Well, no, that would be the week before. Yeah, sometime around at the end of December.
Yeah, it'd be chilly outside, small stadium. Whew. That'd be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, nasty the weather can get up there in Cincinnati.
So we've got this.
See, after I read that, I got a lot more fired up about it just because of all the matchups Rick was reading.
Oh, yeah, man. And this is what I don't understand about the anti-playoff expansion. We got to get Josh Pate on and get his take on this, because his whole thing, as I recall, is it's not going to change anything. Alabama's still going to win, which is, okay, probably true. But, I mean, the attention and the discussion that's going to create all season long, but particularly in October and very much in November, as teams are jostling for those spots and we're wondering. I mean, imagine, okay, let's pretend Josh Heupel gets this thing fixed, and here in 4 or 5 years, Tennessee is – we're battling, man. We're battling, and we'll say 8-2, headed into the last two games, ranked 14 or 15. Can we get into that 12 spot? Can we, A, make the playoff? Then, like, can we climb up a little bit? Who do you want to play? Who would you play? Would you play on the road at Oklahoma? Would you play on the road at Cincinnati? Would you play on the road in the swamp again at Florida in December?
I like our chances in December down there. That's all I'm saying.
Think if you get it really rolling and you're in that five
degrees.
Spot, who are we welcoming to Knoxville? Is Coastal Carolina coming in here? It's smashed. Or is it Minnesota's PJ Fleck finally making his way to Neyland Stadium? I feel like those kind of conversations are going to be so much fun, and so much more fun than whatever we don't even have them. Oh man, who makes the Tax Slayer Bowl this year? Oh man, are we going to make it to Orlando again? Like, nobody cares about that.
This hybrid system of bowls and then the four just sucks. But we need to expand it out, make it more exciting.
As a playoff, it's going to be so much more exciting.
Absolutely.
Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.